Hello, Legacy Builders. Welcome back to another show here at the Life School Masterclass Show. We're your host here, Ilona Vapari. Today, we're going to talk about the buzzword, something that's relatable for everyone, which is AI. So how to implement AI to increase our profits with Jonathan Green, connecting with us virtually all the way from New York to Thailand. And he's an AI expert and best-selling author of ChatGPT Profits. Jonathan, thank you so much for coming on our show today.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm really excited to be here.
The pleasure's all mine. So let's jump right into today's topic. So what thoughts are on your mind as far as the work that you do with implementation of AI into our daily operations of growing a company?
We're just at one of those points where technology is really changing, kind of like when we shifted from doing everything in person to sending faxes in the 70s, and then we shifted to mobile phones and pagers in the 90s. This is just a new technology, a new way to communicate, a new way to get things done. Every business now has a website or an online presence, and no business has had those 30 years ago. So this is just another change where we have to adapt our businesses, because every business is going to be using AI sooner or later. We want to be the businesses that are using it sooner.
Absolutely. It's just like the invention of the internet, right? Even though obviously there's always so much fear around any major evolution or innovation, but it's just going to become one of those things that's just here, right? So we can deny it or we can learn how to implement it. So how do we start integrating it? Depending on, obviously, everybody might be at different stages of their company growth. Our listeners are all in the service-based industry. So where do we get started with implementation? What are some thoughts?
Yeah, the best places to start are with organization. Most of us spend too much time checking email, too much time looking for files, too much time figuring out what we're supposed to be doing. And that's the biggest time wastes most people have. The best place to start with AI is looking at your week and saying, what do I spend the most time doing that is not that important, but I still end up doing it? It's either something that's rote or repetitive, but it's still part of your weekly tasks, or just something where time is wasted. Those are the most common places: answering emails, looking for files, organization. We get 99 emails out of 100 that we don't need to respond to that are either spam, or they're just notifications, or they're just something that we can look at very quickly. We don't actually need to reply. If we can sort those emails effectively and look at only the 1% of emails that we need to reply to, that's going to save us anywhere from 11 or more hours per week. Recent study found that people spend about 28% of their week just answering email. That's 11 hours. That's a lot of hours that people would love to catch back.
Yeah. I mean, I love that you mentioned email, and it's always, sometimes it feels like everything is urgent, but prioritizing AI to be able to help us with that and alleviate a lot of those hours that we could be buying back to put them wherever else anybody kind of, you know, feels aligned with that. So how do we implement AI for what you just mentioned? What are some recommendations?
Yeah, there's a lot of different tools that help in different ways and organize. My favorite email tool is called Spark. It's a free tool that can have multiple mailboxes and really helps me to organize. And you can train it over time, which types of emails are important or which aren't, and help them get smarter and smarter. So it has a really, really good decision-making algorithm. There are a lot of different options for file organization and knowledge organization. The first thought is just knowing that they're out there, and then you just want to choose the tool that feels right for you. So there's new options coming out every single day, whether you're using Mac or PC or Linux. But it starts with making that decision. Once you do that, there's a lot of ways to organize. You can use really simple tools, like just have ChatGPT help you to plan out an organization or a strategy. So I reckon for most people, before you spend a bunch of money, is to just to start with the basics. You just want to have one basic LLM, which is a large language model, and use one of those to get off the ground. From there, then you start looking at, what are my specialized implementations? What are the things I need that are unique to my business model?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. Getting the right tools. And, you know, again, if we go into the systems first and then figure out if we need, you know, the team aspect second, that's the way to absolutely scale. Inside the book that you've written, how have you connected this for businesses between implementing AI and increasing their profits? What are some of the things that maybe you have laid out in your chapters that you can maybe share with us to help people connect the dots between AI implementation and the increase of our profits?
Yeah. A lot of people approach AI, and this is what sounds really cool, is I'm going to replace myself with AI. AI is going to replace me. AI will do my job for me. Those are the people that have had problems in the past year, had disasters, because AI is not really designed to be unsupervised. So the first thing is to think of AI as an accelerator. If you approach it that way, and that's really the way the book is written, for different tasks that you can do faster. When you see it as an accelerator, when you see it as something you are hand in hand with, your job is still to be the quality control, because any email that you send out, whether you write it or ChatGPT writes it, doesn't matter. You'll get blamed for what it says. And the same thing with stuff you post to social media. And a lot of people are finding that out the hard way. We've seen people do anything from submit law cases that didn't exist to file complaints to the government about laws that were never passed in Australia that happened recently, because people are not supervising the AI, and they're finding out the hard way that it's not flawless, that it still has, like any other tool, it can still make mistakes, things can still go wrong. So your job is to check everything that goes out the door, because it still has your name on it. You still get credit if it's good and blame if it's bad, and you want to protect yourself from that. So you really need to see it as something that's cooperative. It's moving you into management. From there, you then look at the tasks you do each week and be very strategic. I need to do research faster. I need to write blog posts faster. I need to answer emails faster. For each of these different types of tasks, I have chapters covering that. So the book is really designed like a menu. You look at the different skills and superpowers and abilities that you can add to your work week, and then you choose which ones you want to implement and which ones will be the most effective for you. There's no reason to learn how to write an AI blog post if you don't write blog posts right now. So instead of looking for new skills, just take what you do right now and do those things faster. That's really where the biggest implementation happens. And that's what the book is built around.
I like that focus, because sometimes focus on what is the right strategy to follow, it's a big pain point for lots of entrepreneurs. But yeah, looking at what you're already doing, trying to streamline some of that. And then as you scale and grow and evolve, figure out, you know, how else to use it as far as tools. Jonathan, I'd love to hear your thoughts around the integrity piece, right? The authenticity piece of, you know, implementing AI with our human voice or human brand or the human, I guess, behind all of us. What are some of your thoughts around implementing this in the way that obviously you still don't compromise your own brand voice overall?
Yeah. All you have to do is read everything that you publish. That's the quality control element. It's when you don't add that element in, when you start publishing things or sending emails that you haven't read, that's when you're going to start running into trouble. Because as a consumer, why would I read an email that you didn't take the time to read? If it's not good enough for you, why is it good enough for me? And I feel the same way about AI-generated social media posts. So if you're going to do these implementations, it's very important to keep yourself as part of the decision-making loop, to still be part of the process, to actually go out and read everything that's written by your team, that's written by your AI. You wouldn't want to have a VA on the team or an assistant on the team who's creating content that you're not reading and putting your name on it. You still want to be part of the process, because even when you have an employee and you say, I'm never going to check your work, the quality of the work diminishes, and that's where you start to run into trouble. So most of the people who are worried about brand voice are people who've just experienced the bad use of AI. And there are certainly people that are using AI poorly. We see it all over every social media channel. Badly generated AI images, badly written AI content. And the people creating it don't know, because they're not reading it. They're the one person who should know that the content they're releasing is really bad. And they're the one person who doesn't, because they're so excited that they can create a lot of content that they're not thinking about creating a lot of good content. So if you want to maintain your brand voice, that's why you want to have yourself as part of the decision-making process, as part of the QA process, quality assurance. So with every process I do, I'm either the first part or the second part of the process. So either I come up with the idea and AI refines it, or AI comes up with the idea and I refine it. So it's always cooperative. That's what the chat and ChatGPT really means, is to chat or have a conversation with the AI. So as long as you keep that mindset, you can create really high quality content that never loses your brand voice, because you're the one who's always checking it and making sure it still sounds like you.
Mm-hmm. We are looking for aligned sponsors for this amazing podcast that really align with our mission to help other people scale their purpose so they can do more good in the world. If you align with our mission and vision here at the Life School, then I would love for you to be able to find out more information around our sponsor spots that we have available here inside our daily show, which is also scaling at over 50,000 downloads of seasoned entrepreneurs and CEOs. Let's further connect around this amazing collaborative partnership and opportunity, and we'll be able to go from there. Thank you again for being such loyal listeners to the Life School Masterclass show. I'll see you with another episode and another amazing conversation shortly. Here we are. That sounded like AI. I think if it was just on my own end. Jonathan, I'd love to get your thoughts around the pain point of now that everybody is able to leverage AI for content creation. What happens with visibility, attention span, trying to stand out there in the social media world? What are your thoughts around that?
You're going to see a shift towards authenticity. People are looking for content that is actually from real people, written from the heart, that has real stories. And we're going to see a shift towards video content because that's the only way you know it's a real person. And it's just about using AI the right way. I don't use AI for any of my social media content for exactly that reason, because I already see that shift in my audience. People expect me to do AI generated content. And so I need to be more authentic than everyone else to simply calibrate against that. So the content I create, everything I write, all of my videos, it's more me than everyone else for exactly that reason. It's that calibration to increase authenticity. So while there's a temptation to do a lot of AI-generated content and it can be fun, it's important to still resonate with your audience, to still sound like yourself. So the temptation to create lower quality content, what happens with AI, with any AI tool, is that it raises the people at the bottom towards average. So if you're terrible at creating art, well, now you can make images that are better than terrible. But if you're really talented and you use the same process, well, now the art is worse. So what it's really doing is flattening the bell curve and turning everyone into average. So you want to use AI where you're weak and not where you're strong. And that's where you can become much more powerful. And that's how you stand out from the crowd. So pay attention to how it's affecting your quality. And that's when you can really be significant. It's that decision to make content that you would want to read, that you would want to see. Because I see a lot of people publish AI images that look like 1990s clip art, and everyone who sees that goes, oh, this person doesn't care. They just wanted a generic image. They asked the AI to generate something, and they took the first image the AI made. They didn't think about it. And you can get away with that for a while because, oh, AI images are cool. But very quickly, people are going to turn against you in the same way that we all ignore advertisements in our social media feeds. We're used to, if we're looking at Instagram scrolling, an ad comes, we scroll right past it. And that's what's going to happen more and more with AI-generated images, and you don't want that to happen to you.
Mm. Well, I love that perspective that you just shared. I never thought about that before, but we all could feel and hear, you know, the rise of not only energetically, but the rise of authenticity, the rise of just like humans sharing just raw, you know, content out there as well. And not only sharing the wins and the highlight reels, but also sharing, you know, the process or kind of the challenges that they're going through as well. So I like the balancing or the harmonizing, I guess that's the better word, of, you know, AI generated content, but also the human side that, you know, that keeps that trust factor alive for most of us. Jonathan, how did you get into this work?
Been a full-time entrepreneur since February of 2010, so running my own business for 14 years now. And I've been using AI as a consumer for several years. And just as AI has become more and more important, become a bigger part of my business. And I went from using to teaching in the past year and a half.
Mm-hmm. And how do you now help? What is your, do you have a product or how do you help others with your business?
Yeah, that's exactly what I do, is I help people to figure out how to use AI in their business. That's my main business.
Oh, love that. How do you do so people have a better idea on if they're, you know, found your message resonating with them? How is it that they're able to work with you?
Yeah, it starts off with I have a YouTube channel where I post content nearly every day. I have a lot of content on LinkedIn, so you can get a sense of what I teach, my methodology, and how I do things. You can read my book. That's really a foundation. I always tell people start there before you go for my more expensive courses to really make sure you like my teaching style and the way I do things. From there, I teach four different programs on ways to use AI. One is a program for you to use it on your own business. One to do is AI as a service. We're going to see a large shift. There's a lot of companies that need AI, but they don't have time or the wherewithal to learn it themselves. So they're bringing in consultants. They're bringing in in-house experts. The next program is an accelerator of my most advanced, really intelligent prompts to make AI a lot easier. And then my fourth and final program is for people that want to get good at AI, but aren't necessarily looking to become entrepreneurs. So it's really about how to use AI when you're working at your company to get a raise, to get a promotion, and to secure your job position. So you don't have to be worried that someone younger who's good at AI is going to take your position.
Wow, very, very nicely structured, I must say. It seems like there's something from everyone, for everyone, based on what you have built with your programs and also through all your content. Jonathan, I would like to wrap up the interview with maybe the three most impactful lessons that you have learned in the journey of entrepreneurship that you'd like to share with others. And then let's send people over to your website so they can further connect with you.
Sure. The three most important lessons are that it's all on you when you're an entrepreneur. It's all risk, but it's also you get to reap all the rewards. The second lesson is that consistency is more important than moments of virality. We often chase that one perfect video. I want to get 1 million views, and I want to get 1 million views on this article or this video. And I've seen it happen to people, and then they can't repeat it. So you're constantly chasing the dragon. Far better to have consistency. You can't answer all your email for the next year in one day. You have to answer email every day. That consistency is what generates those results. And the final thing I'll say is that you have to make that decision that you're going to treat your business like a business. What we call it, things like a side hustle or hobby, that activates a different part of our brain. So any money you invest in your business, your first thought should be, this is an investment, which means I want to make the money back. If I spend $1,000 on a course, I need to make $1,000 back from the training or the course didn't work. When you switch to that mindset, you'll become much more profitable and you'll switch to having your own business a lot faster.
I love it. Straight and forward and to the point. And I resonate with all three that you just shared. Where is it that people can further connect with you? What's your website?
Best place to find me is at servenomaster.com. And if you Google the term serve no master, every single search result, that's me.
Okay. Serve No Master. What is behind the name? Serve No Master.
What's George, the idea? Yep. Very simple. It just means that you're in charge of your destiny, that you have to make the decision. Even when you have a job, your job is still your business that you grow and cultivate. You're the one who's in charge of changing companies, finding career opportunities. So wherever you are, you have to be the one in charge of your destiny. It's the only way to make sure you get the destiny that you're looking for.
See, I love that. There's the final message and the bigger vision and behind the work and the mission behind the work that you do on the day to day. Jonathan, thank you so much for your time, wisdom, and expertise today. I really appreciate you coming on to the Life School Masterclass show.
Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. It's always my pleasure. Thank you again for always watching and supporting the show and you as the listeners. Don't forget to subscribe, review, and share. And we also have a few sponsor spots still available. So if you're interested, let me know. Thank you so much for watching. I'll see you next time. Bye, everybody.